نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحاب سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال تعالى أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers that have congregated, firstly we thank and we express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us the opportunity to sit here, inshallah, with a very noble objective, inshallah, of gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ayat which I have quoted, another ayat which comes to mind, and the ayat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. For that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to guide, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands his chest, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yashrah sadrahu lil Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him to understand the aspects of deen. And we will find that the expansion of the heart is actually the intoxication of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what are the signs of this? To which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three things. One is the love of the heart, or the intoxication of the love, when a person will turn away from everything which comes to an end. And we find this by way of an example, when a person will incline towards something that is an illicit relationship, which is haram and wrong. We are not talking of a halal tayyib marriage, obviously, that is different. But a person will incline to somebody that obviously this person is going to come, every person is going to leave this dunya. The life of this dunya is not forever. And the objective of the life of the dunya is that we recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ لِيَعْرِفُونَنِي. That I have not created jinn and insan except that they gain the recognition of, they gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's recognition. And this is the objective of our life. It's no use a person goes into life and he doesn't understand what his objective is. So we need to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person will just incline towards this, keep away all kinds of haram and wrong, then Allah will put the sukoon, Allah will put this itminan, which every person is looking for, tranquility. Or else a person will always be restless, looking for something in the things which are haram. Then the second aspect, when the expansion or the intoxicating love of Allah will enter some person's heart, what will happen? The second thing that will happen is his heart will incline towards the Akhirah. Always he will constantly be worried about the Akhirah. And when a person is constantly worried about the Akhirah, then what will happen is any kind of haram that even enters, it will trigger an effect. Just by way of an example, when a person is in a pilot and the warning signs go off in the cockpit, then obviously the pilot has to do something. He cannot relax at this moment in time and say, well, things are going good. No, these are warning signs that if I do not attend to it, it's going to destroy me. It's going to destroy the lives of many people on board. On a greater level, when a person sees the warning signs coming and a person is doing haram and wrong, and the heart has become receptive towards good, because Allah has expanded his chest towards Islam and he has an understanding of the deen, the way it's supposed to be understood from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person automatically, it will trigger an effect that I need to do something about it. I need to keep away from the haram and the wrong. So the first aspect that I'm talking about is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala versus the love of mortal people that we are going to all perish. The second aspect that I wish to talk on is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a prescriptive to how to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third aspect would be the love of the salihin and the pious. And we've seen that from our Dada Sheikh, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. And the last aspect will be the du'as of the pious people. So, we will find that the very people that we love so much, a person becomes, perhaps he sleeps, and that person is not even conscious about your problem. So why love something that is not even conscious about your problems, that cannot attend to your problem, but rather love that being whom Allah, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تأخذوا سنة ولا نوم. Slumber doesn't overtake Allah, neither does sleep overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is ever loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows at every given moment what is happening. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No leaf falls from a tree except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So we should think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shouldn't be that this very thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Oh, you who believe, let not your wealth and your children deviate you from the remembrance of Allah. Why? وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ. For that person who does so, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Then that person is classified to be among the losers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Spend from that which we have granted you. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ. Before death come to any one of you. فَيَقُولُ. Then he says, رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Oh Allah, grant me a little bit of respite. A person will regret at that moment in his life that now the imtihan of this dunya is over. I have to hand in my paper. Like a person that has been through any schooling system or madrasa knows that when we write the imtihan, then you do not get. Maybe the examiner will give you that little bit of respite and give you 5 minutes more. You're a good student, you might get. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not grant any soul respite. Why? That time has come and it has ended. وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَجْلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصْدَقَ. Why? So that I may give out sadaqah. And Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi writes under the commentary of this, that is, now this person has an intention to give out his zakat at the time of his death. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And I may be from the righteous. I may perform my hajj, I may perform my umrah, etc. And then we know the very next ayah which appears, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah will never grant respite to any soul, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. When its appointed time, when that person's appointed time comes, not 1 second more, not 1 second less, the time of this dunya has come to an end. Hand in your paper and now we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how much more nicer won't it be, Allah grant us each one of us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah takes us to the level where we love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet us. So this wealth of this dunya, the life of this dunya shouldn't deviate us from the remembrance of Allah. And Allah doesn't use the word lam. Lam means will not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word lan, which gives emphasis in the Urdu language, hargiz nahi. Allah will never grant respite to any soul. Let us use the capital of the wealth, like Mawlana Yunus rahmatullah used to always say, that the capital of wealth is such a great thing. Use it correctly because it will melt away. Just like that ice block that melts away, and a person cannot accrue any kind of profit, the life of the dunya will go away, and then it will be the life of akhirah. It shouldn't be that we become losers. Also, to the thinking of Ghairullah, you will find that many times a person inclines towards those people, or you will find, وَإِذَا ذِكَرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ شْمَأَذَّتْ قُلُوبَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. When the mention of Allah is mentioned alone to some people, what happens? You will find that many a times in a gathering, إِشْمَأَذَّتْ قُلُوبَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Then the hearts of those people who have no iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do they do? They feel disgusted, they don't want to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. But when any other thing is mentioned, when it's the aspect of sport, or is the mention of any other thing, entertainment of the dunya, then a person rejoices and a person wants to speak about it. It should not be that our life is spent in this way. Rather, we should gain the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah. And a very short example is given of the person, and many of us might know it, but maybe it will have some effect for you and myself. And each one here, we know the aspect that when we want to please insan, we cannot please insan. Why? Insan is forever ungrateful. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Verily, insan is very ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will find that you try to please insan, what happens is you cannot please them. By way of an example, a person, the two men that had a donkey, the father and the son, they were going with this mule and they were passing village by village, and as they passed the first village, so both of them were not mounted on the donkey, so people started retorting and started saying, they said, look at these two people, they are so foolish, they have a conveyance, but none of them have mounted the conveyance. So it is foolish for them, rather one of them mount and take benefit from this mule and this conveyance. So the father hops on, out of respect, gives the father the seat and says, I will pull the reins and my father will, my respected father will be pulled. Come to the next village and then people start saying, how disrespectful. The father has no respect for his son. So how can you allow your son to walk? So the son gets off, and now the son gets onto the conveyance. Heirs, they come to the next, the rich people say, but now today's children have no respect. The son has no respect for the father. Why don't you get off? And why don't you rather let your father say, so both father and son realize that we're not winning anyway. The equation's just not equaling out. So why don't we both sit on the donkey? They come to the next village, and the people say, well, both of them have no raham, and they have no mercy even for an animal. So they both decide that we have a lose situation here. We've tried everything, we've exhausted all our alternatives, but the only one alternative is now, we can both carry the donkey. So they both decide to carry the donkey, and they come to the next village, and the people have a good laugh, and they say, well, why couldn't the father have sat on the donkey? Why couldn't both of them have sat on the donkey? Why couldn't the son have sat on the donkey? Or why couldn't both of them have just pulled the donkey instead of carrying the donkey? So this is the life of insan, that a person will do everything for people. He'll do everything, unfortunately, sometimes for people that have no recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it's important that we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person will do everything. Person goes overseas, he buys the most, the thing that his wife wants the most, buys the shoe, goes through the customs, goes through all the difficulties of coming through, and then he knocks on the door for the wife to open, and she's very happy because she's elated that now she's going to get the shoe that she desires. And she says, did you bring my shoe back? So he says, yes, I brought your shoe back. Goes into the house, unwraps it, and then she has a frown on her face. What's the problem? Wrong color. So that is the life of this world. But rest assured, if a person is standing up at the time of the Tahajjud and he's crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the purpose of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is their purpose? Not only Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi in the writings of Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah, where he writes under the commentary on this on page 260 in the Masnawi of Imam Rumi rahmatullah, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, he writes something so amazing. He writes that waking up or making dua is there's two objectives to making dua. Number one is for fulfillment of a need, which we will do, or rather I would do, and then the salihin, what is their objective, and may Allah make us amongst them. Their objective is one more greater than that. Now, never mind just making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are actually waiting for the opportunity to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest way of conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when a person puts his sajda down and he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Walana Yunus rahmatullahi has also said many a time, that these are our begging bowls. We love them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the example also given in the Masnawi is the example of the two birds. So there is one that is a crow. Sometimes the dua is not accepted at the same time. So we find, why is this dua not accepted? It's not that the dua is not accepted. If there are two crows, there is a crow and a nightingale, and the crow comes about, then the person, just to get rid of the crow and the insistent crowing of the bird, it will throw a piece of bread so that the crow can go away. But the nightingale will be left behind because it will sing very beautifully. So the things that we love, we will try to hold on to. You don't want to let go of that. So rather keep something which is close by to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever loving. We need to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes part of our life. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for creation is more than what a mother loves her own child. It was in one battle where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the Sahaba of the mafhum of the hadith, where the Sahabi, this woman was reunited with a child after losing her child. So she frantically looked for a child, and we know that the panic that the person goes through when the child is lost. How a person looks for their child, I don't know where's my child. And when the mother is reunited with the child, then that person feels a sigh of relief. So when she's reunited with the child, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to the fact that, do you think that this mother would throw her child into the fire? Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, no, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to the effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful, and Allah loves his creation more than a mother loves her own child. How much more shouldn't we be loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That we make today the turning point of our life. For how long will we continue in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For how long will we continue when we know not when death will come? The life of this dunya is very short. We don't know. Let's make it memorable moments in an investment of akhirah. The second aspect is to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given the prescription, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, follow the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will Allah do? يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, Allah will forgive your sins. So by fulfilling following the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that we gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Hazrat always says, the Adam of Barakatum always mentions, he says that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so beautiful. It's ashal, it's the most easiest. It's ajmal, it's the most beautiful. Wa akmal, and it's the most complete. You don't get anything in life that's more beautiful, more easier, and more complete than the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In every aspect, the fashion of the dunya will change. Whatever was fashioned a few years ago will change. But you will find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's such beauty. And there's so much of khair that will come out of it. How do we disobey the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But what heart do we go and stand by the rawda? I'm talking about myself. We stand in front and we give salami to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we don't feel shy to do haram and wrong. And we take out the camera and we don't feel shy about it. And we would take people, na'udhubillah, would take selfies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. May Allah save us from going with musical ringtones right by the rawda. This is something that we should change, inshallah. And one great alim said it very beautifully. He said we should become insan. He said if you take the alphabet of insan, there are five. Insan, every insan should have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second aspect, every insan should have noon. The noon means you should have Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life. Every insan should have the seerah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before him. Every insan should have amr bil ma'ruf, to invite towards good. Every insan should have an nahi anil munkar, to prohibit, keep away from evil. Prohibit from evil. Then a person will become insan, or else a person's life will be no insan life. It will be worse than that of an animal. So we need to make sure that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this, because verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. That in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an excellent example. So there's no greater example than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need, once a person has that in the life, then taqwa will be will come into the heart of a person. And when taqwa comes in, then what is taqwa? It is the bewaring of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity in what we do. And what is ikhlas? One great scholar said it very beautifully. He said, ikhlas, when you ask somebody what is ikhlas, they will tell you it's sincerity. When you ask them what is sincerity, they will tell you it's ikhlas. So he says it very beautifully. He says sincerity, ikhlas, means to conceal your good in such a manner, like how you're passionate to conceal your haram and wrong. You don't want anybody to see. So you hide your good. Perhaps it's even sitting in the masjid, and nobody sees you, and you pick up that one speck of dirt and you put it into your pocket solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps it's that crumbs that you've eaten lunch. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us food. We take it, and that one crumb nobody sees you, and you put it down on the floor solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. It might be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that action so much, and Allah grants a person jannah because of it. So may Allah give us the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to abstain from nafs. May Allah divorce us from nafs and shaitan, because this is keeping us away. Sometimes we constantly blame everybody else, but we need to look into our own lives. It is our nafs and the shaitan that has deviated us from the remembrance of Allah. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Every time you think of this ayat, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does he not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, that Allah watches everything? Allah is constantly watching us. Also, sometimes we are mahroom of ilm. As students, sometimes we are mahroom of ilm, and then we want to know. Then we look into the lives of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, and we look into the lives of all the scholars. Sometimes people will say the nastiest things about the great scholars, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, such a great scholar. And it's so beautifully Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh says it, Shakawtu ila waki in su'ar hifzi. I complained to my ustad, Imam Waki rahmatullah alayh. There was a communication between ustad and student. I complained, and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, such a great giant, is complaining and saying, I have a lapse in my memory. Fa'arshadani ila tarki al-ma'asi. He didn't give me a long bayan. All he told me, leave out guna and sin. Fa'innal ilma nurun, because knowledge is light. Wa nurullahi la yuhda lil'asi. And the light of Allah is not given to one who disobeys Allah. You cannot mix water and urine and then expect to drink it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to keep away from haram and wrong. My time has nearly left. And many times it is said that people in palatial, in the kings in their palatial homes and in their palaces, to not enjoy the tranquility that the salikin and those people that the lovers of Allah experience. The lovers of Allah, even though outwardly it might look like they're going through difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the sukoon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that sukoon. And just to culminate or terminate this advice that were given, inshallah, is that we should make constantly dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what dua should we make? The duas of the pious. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, we ask of you your love. وَحُبَّ مَيْ يُحِبُّكَ. And the love of all those who love you. And وحب الذي يقربنا إلى حبك. And that type of love which will promote and be a catalyst to gain your love. And also if we look into the lives of the pious and the salihin, then we will find in the life of Maulana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, a person that was inspired to write 28,500 verses in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He so beautifully says, O Allah, don't show the day of separation to the one whom you have befriended at night. Do not visit the soul that has tasted your closeness with the punishment of becoming distant from you. And how do we become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah save us. It is that when a person commits guna and sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make today the turning point in each of our lives. And just to conclude, like how Maulana always constantly, the ash'ar of Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah, where he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Mera kohi nahi ahate re siwa, E khuda, zindagi meri hai tera zikr aur liqa, aur meri maut hai tujhse ho main juda. Oh Allah, there's none for me except you, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Your remembrance and meeting you is the fuel of my life, and separation from you is tantamount to my death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that Allah make us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please forgive me for taking 1 or 2 minutes extra of your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us, firstly myself, and grant each one of us a tawfiq and ability to practice what has been said. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغوا عني ولو آية وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تواضع لله رفعه الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم. My dear respected elders and friends, before commencing as proper, just as a general reminder that if we are in our daily lives, we're preparing for a walima in the home, or a person is preparing for a safar to go for umrah, or whatever special occasion it actually is, and generally respected elders and friends, a great amount of joy starts to culminate within the recesses, within the bottom of that person's heart. But likewise, when a person in actual fact is coming to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for the lovers of Allah ta'ala, these gatherings which has been prepared by the Darul Uloom, by the Muntazimeen, by our Shaykh, the Amr Barakatuhum, then actually also a sigh of grief and a sigh of joy should come into our heart. So here we can just actually put what we call a yardstick, that what type of feeling comes into the person's heart, what type of excitement comes, that when a person is going to attend the majalis of deen, as comparatively to the enjoyment or entertainment we take in this world. So here, respected friends, what we should remember, that this is actually Allah Ta'ala's invitation. This is Allah Ta'ala's da'wah to come to these types of gatherings, these types of majalis. So firstly, we should always remember that we will go through the days, that we will sit in different programs, we will sit with different people, listening to different topics. But we should always refresh our intention. And firstly, I've come for my own islah, I've come for my own rectification. And really, respected friends, Allah Ta'ala has made it so beautifully, as the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi said, that for some people we can present thousands of ahadith, but this is still insufficient. And there are some people that we will present just one hadith, and it's sufficient for that man's entire hidayah. So really, respected friends, if a person just has to look at it, that this weekend we're going through, if a person has just make the correct intention in his heart, and Hazrat Shaykh, our Tada Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned so beautifully right under the chapter, that how does a person learn the science of giving up sins, or actually what we call, how does a person move his life away. One time I was driving on the highway, and it came on the billboard, that if we had to kill everybody who had committed crimes or murdered other people, there'd be no people left on this earth. And the person's name that was written at the bottom was Gandhi. So what was he referring to is that if an eye for an eye or capital punishments were meted out, So if one person kills another and his life is taken, he said there'll be no people. But as Shah Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi gives this beautiful example, and Mufassirin write on this also, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Ta'ala tells us in Quran Sharif so beautifully that if one person commits a murder, then we will take that person's life. Obviously according to the grounds of the Sharia, but the benefit of that is فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that you'll take one person's life, but it will give the entire mankind life. Because that one person's life was taken, for taking another person's life unlawfully or unjustly, will make everybody else think prior to taking somebody else's life, that I must not do this because my life will be taken. So in the Sharia also, respected friends, when we want to administer a change, that actually we have to take the sword and we have to slaughter it completely. As in English they say so nicely, sometimes you have to go cold turkey. So this is the opportunity, respected friends. We've got this few moments, we've got this weekend. And remember something, whenever we want to inculcate change, there's two things that Shaitan tries to do. He says, no problem, you've made your mind up. Okay, so what we should do now, they don't do it now, you can do it sometimes later. He always tries to defer us. Or he'll put some takaza in front of us. But this is the time Allah Ta'ala has given us, respected friends. And this is the time that niyat, actually we should take that sword and put that niyat on it. That each person will spend some time in solitude, alone with himself. Put this decision in the heart that I need to inculcate this change. Where am I in my life and where do I need to go? And really, respected friends, if we listen with an open heart, including myself, all of us, Allah Ta'ala will give us taraki, Allah Ta'ala will give us the stage to go forward. The topic which inshallah we try and discuss in this few minutes is tawadu. When Maulana Musa Saab phoned with the topic, I thought this is something that firstly needs to come into my life. And may Allah Ta'ala grant it to all of us. Our Dada Shaykh, Shaykh Hakim Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, he explained so beautifully, if we just have this beautiful picture in our minds, and we picture that there is a beautiful mountain top, a beautiful scenery, and walking along this beautiful mountain scenery, there is a beautiful deer. And those deers with those beautiful horns, and it's walking up this beautiful walkway or the smart way. And generally in a pack or in a herd of deers, there is one male that actually will keep guard for the rest of the pack, for the little children, for the little kids, and then also for the mothers, for the females, and obviously for the growing bucks as well. And he walks up to the mountain top and he stands aside, and it's taking a long time actually to get to the hillock or to the mountain top. And he takes and he guides his entire pack or his entire herd to get to the top. And as soon as he gets to the top, respected friends, what happens is that there's a sigh of relief. That there hasn't been a predator that has killed or that has harmed any animal or any part of his pack. So he stands up with great amount of pride. But the entire journey going up is hard, it's strenuous. It's something that he stands in great humility. And as he gets to the top, respected friends, now he sees everything is safe. So what does he do? He stands in great pride and he holds his chest out and he breathes the beautiful fresh air in and he overlooks the scenery. And just about at that point, respected friends, a wild bear comes from the back and he actually pounces on this animal and he takes its life. So here, respected friends, our Dada Sheikh gives us a very beautiful example that just as us, respected friends, we are parents in our homes. A person might be an ustad, a person might be a leader in his business field, a person might be a CEO. But here particularly what we're talking about is a man in a position that where he's directing people to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got his subordinates behind him. But what happens is sometimes if we are ever caught up with pride, respected friends, or we ever caught up with the thought that I'm somebody or I'm somebody big, then what happens is that that nafs, unfortunately, it comes behind us and it can crush us to pieces. So in the same way that this deer traveled its journey so beautifully and it traveled its journey out of making so much of sacrifice, we in our lives also, respected friends, many times we can actually traverse the journey that we've made ibadat. A person could be reading his five times daily salat in the first saf. A person could be going for umrah after umrah. A person could be donating towards charitable organizations. And dot, 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 the person is contributing so much. But here we should be careful, respected friends, that if at any time we get caught up, that we are away from the sign of humility, respected friends. We are away from the sign and pride develops within us. Then Allah Ta'ala forgive us that years of effort can be taken away in a few seconds. Our Dada Sheikh gives this beautiful example on the same topic, that if a person has got what we call a store of grain, that generally when a person is in the Minister of Agriculture, then this is what we call his duty. But if generally what he writes is that in many times in these type of places, that rats start to make their way from under the ground. And this he gives a similar example, that when we do good deeds, respected friends, and a person doesn't maintain humility, then so as to say these mice or these rats actually slowly start to creep up under us, and they start to finish us up. They start to eat away at our amal, and they boost this ego, they boost this pride within all of us. So in your respected friends, this hadith that we mentioned, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ, that that person who humbles himself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise this person. As Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi gives us a very beautiful example, that one time he was sitting in the Merkaz, and there were a few brothers that had gone out to Kabul, the state in Afghanistan, they had gone out in Jamaat. So Hazrat's desire was when any Jamaat would come back, then they would take the karguzari of that Jamaat. So he waited and he spoke to the brothers, and they gave him the karguzari and said, Alhamdulillah, we went out very beautifully. But for some reason, that we had a few days within the safar, within the journey, that we didn't have any meals, we didn't have any food to eat. So Hazrat asked, he said, what did you eat? So they said that we had utilized, if we pronounce it properly, it's about 4 anas or anas, which is equivalent to 1/6 of a dirham. That's what we actually had to utilize to buy 2 kgs of grapes. So in our terms, what we'll say, a person bought 2 kgs of grapes for about 16 or 17 cents. So we said, this is all what we had actually to eat for a number of days. We didn't have any food to eat. So Hazrat immediately, and this is how we look at our mashayikh, we look at our elders, that in everything, they see that how they can use this to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Shaykh Zakir rahmatullah alayhi told him, he said that probably in that time that you didn't have food, there was a great amount of appreciation for it. In the time that you got food, that generally we do thank Allah Ta'ala and we're always happy for it. But obviously the appreciation or the degree of appreciation had increased manifold, because you didn't have food, you just had a little bit of grapes. So they answered in the affirmative. So as the Shaykh Zakir rahmatullah alayhi said, quiet for a little while. And then this hadith came to mind. And he said, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. So as Shaykh Zakir rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, in the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, if we as insan have to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has got all the sifats of kibriyai. Allah Ta'ala has got all the sifats of being great. Allah Ta'ala is akbar. Allah Ta'ala is not a being that we can consider that is low, or a person that's what we say right on the ground. Allah Ta'ala is a being that's really big and really great. And Allah Ta'ala also hasn't got the sifat of muhtajki, of being in need. Allah Ta'ala hasn't got the sifat of ajizi. Allah Ta'ala hasn't got the sifat of actually being in need, or a person is just asking out or begging or stretching his hands. And he said, this is the sifat for an insan. So if Allah Ta'ala is free of these qualities, then these are the sifat that the insan has to give to Allah Ta'ala. So just like when you were at home, you appreciated your food. But when you had no food, then you appreciated it much more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates all deeds from insan, from human beings. But when it comes to these sifats of being ajizi, muhtajki, when a person has got these sifats, that I am soft, I am low, I am in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, as we would say, with open arms, he grabs it. Allah ta'ala just wants it from a person. So here may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, respected friends, to culminate it. So a few things to understand. Our Dada Shaykh explains to us, as a Shah Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh, that how does a person develop this? As a Hakim Sahib writes that in his lifetime, that it came to the latter part of his life, and Allah Ta'ala had made it such that people from different parts of the world were sitting and coming to take benefits and visiting him. And Hazrat used to say that the result of this is not because of anything of myself. It is a result of serving my elders. So a normal person will think, in our unfortunately weak dunyawi minds, we will think that if a person serves the Shaykh, what happens is that, like in business, for example, if a person goes and buys somebody's business, then the normal usual policy is you tell the owner that stay on for 6 months or 1 year. So basically the clientele base that you have, they can learn who I am, they get used to me, and I can take it on. So we might think possibly that a person who stays with the sheikh, that this is the same thing that he's looking for. That he wants to stay with the sheikh. So obviously the benefits are around the sheikh. He'll pick it up on the demise of the sheikh. And that's according to dunya. Our Dada Sheikh said so beautifully that this wasn't my intention, or this is not how it works. He said that my time that I used to sit here, when I used to sit with our great grandfather Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh, then many people used to come and sit in front of Hazrat in Hazrat Khanka, and they used to come and they used to just sit in Muraqabah. So Hazrat Shah Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says, he used to ask Hazrat Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say that I stay in your company all the time and I get shoutings from you and I get scoldings from you and you tell me this and you tell me that. But how come it's such that when these other people just come for a period of 2 to 3 days, then they sit quietly, you treat them very nicely and mashallah they walk away again after that. So he said that if a person, he gave a very beautiful jawab. He said if a car is smashed or if a car needs to, it's met up in an accident. Now this motor vehicle needs to go to the panel beater. But what are they going to do at the panel beater? They're not just going to buff the car and spray it immediately. It's going to go through a process of knocks. It's going to go through a process of straightening. It's going to go through a process of fixing up until we get it back to its normal position to the finished product. So he said those people that will stay close to our mashayikh, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it, that these people actually will reach Allah ta'ala because they go through these scoldings. And this is where Hazrat Shah Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, he said that I developed this quality of becoming small, that actually when I stood in front of my sheikh, and whatever he told me, I accepted it wholeheartedly. I didn't look at it and say that he told me something wrong, or he scolded me and now I'm thinking bad about this person, or I'm going to run away from this person. He said I took it as he told me, and I implemented it in my own life, on my own self. And that breaking down, is actually the result of what you see. One brother was in Jamaat in Karachi, a friend, and generally if Jamaats were in Karachi at that time, the first question would be, did you get the chance to go to Gulshan Iqbal to meet Hazrat? So this friend of mine, and Hazrat was in his latter part of his life, and it was his first time, so he said, when I saw Hazrat, Allah Ta'ala put in my heart, it's as if we can say it's written, Allah Wala on his face. And he wasn't even speaking at that time. But how does his respected friends, that when we will work to lower ourselves, when we will work to bring us humility. One person one time was standing in front of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he greeted him like this. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him one smack and said, what are you doing? But this is our condition of humility. That when we're in front of the pious people, then it's very easy for us to lower our shoulders, to act like we are nothing. But another story, when we go home and the wife has to tell us a whole lot of things, or somebody, there's road rage on the street, or somebody might have taken our haq or something, this is the time, respected friends, and this is why we need our mashayikh, respected friends. One person one time had some problems, so he asked me, he said, what are you going to the khanka all the time? So he had big problems with his wife. So I told him, is to learn, when you go home and your wife tells you anything, you say, gee, gee, gee. So he laughed, he told me, he said, it's impossible. I told him, it's abad. You come and sit in the company of mashayikh, slowly, we're not there as yet, but slowly you start to find, Allah Ta'ala will give us the taraki, Allah Ta'ala will give us the understanding. And the sweetness in that respected friend is unparalleled. So here again, it's so important for us to remember, we need our mashayikh, respected friends. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explains that one day, that Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi was sitting in the haram of Madinatul Munawwara, and a brother walked into Babi Jibril, and he had written a letter to Hazrat the day before. So on the letter at the bottom, he had written there, he said, I'm na laik, he said, I'm nangi aslaf, la shay. So he said that I'm like a nothing, I'm a disgrace to my elders. So when he walked into the Haram Sharif, Hazrat Mawlana saw him and he said, hey, gade, aye. He said, you donkey, come here. And that man's face went red. So he said, I'm just calling you what you told me you are yesterday. So this is our condition, respected friends. So really, my respected friends, pride, do not have this quality of humility, respected friends, not to have this true tawadu. This is something that finishes us up. And if a person can really get this, respected friends, we will, so to say, we will fly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not easy. And if we can understand this little bit, if we can think that we can acquire it on our own, it's impossible. We need somebody there, respected friends, to guide us, to help us, to show us. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi, when he went to actually go and visit his ustad, his Shaykh, Hajim Dadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi. And in those days, When a person went to go and visit his sheikh, his peer, his ustad from India to get to Medina to Munawwara, it was a journey by road. Obviously in today's time we can't even imagine. A person might take a flight and just get off from the plane to walk to his bus or his conveyance. A person just gets gabrat, a person becomes claustrophobic. I can't handle it, it's so hot. Imagine those people in those days from India traveling that entire road journey, getting right to Medina to Munawwara, and this is the jazbat they had to see their mashayikh. To walk, to travel by road, and this person was known as Mufti Azam. He became the Mufti of Pakistan, India. It was one sub, the continent, the subcontinent was one, and he went by road, respected friends. So Allah accepted that jazbat, we can see. But he went, respected friends. And when he came to Medina to Munawwara, obviously as we would say, after a long journey, here we just traveled a few minutes, mashallah, brothers are waiting on istiqbal. Here for a long journey he went. A normal person would think that I'm waiting for somebody with a big istiqbal, with a big dawah to come. If we come from a journey far off, a person goes for holiday somewhere, or goes for Hajj, Umrah, and he comes home, what a big spread is laid out. So here, the Mufti of Pakistan, he is actually coming back home. So he's coming to visit his sheikh in Medina to Munawwara. So Hajim Darullah Muhajir Makki was waiting, and he knew what this person's maqam, he knew what this person's status. Because he said, Maulana Rashid Ahmad has become the Mufti of Pakistan. But he said, let me see if this person's islah has been correctly or properly made. So when he came inside, the dastarkhan was laid very nicely, and he told Maulana Rashid, he said, you go sit on the corner of the dastarkhan. So he made him to sit, the dastarkhan was laid very nicely, the spread. And Maulana Rashid Ahmad, they write, and he said that I had an understanding, I had an idea what was going on. And he put me right in the corner after that long journey, and I intended to come and visit, but he put me worse than a beggar on the corner of the dastarkhan. And then just like how you'll give like a dog or an animal, he took a piece of bread or roti and he just pushed it along the dastarkhan, and he said, like, you eat this, yeah. And as we say that little salad like water gravy, he said, you eat this, yeah. And Maulana Rashid took it with relish. After that long journey, which I think is far beyond our comprehension, he took that and with relish he ate it. And at that time, Hazrat Hajim Darullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi was just looking at his face to see if the color on his face changed. Now, this is where myself, firstly, respected friends, for small things, unfortunately the face not red, it goes purple and black. But Hazrat says that in that time when I ate it with relish, I knew my sheikh was testing me. And he said that my little shoulders were dropped. I didn't mind about it. I didn't have any worry about it because I had understood what is humility. I had broken and annihilated myself. And he said not even the color of my face had changed. Ajitab got so happy, and then he called him closer. So here, respected friends, it's a journey. May Allah Ta'ala guide us. May Allah Ta'ala grant it to us. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, respected friends, to take the line and to improve, increase, and to break this inner self. Allah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم يخشق الأنساق ويدعون إلى السجود فلا يستطيعون خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ذلة وقد كانوا يدعون إلى السجود وهم سالمون. وقال تعالى وارقوا مراقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب به الأب يوم القيامة الصلاة فإن صلحت صلحت سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسدت سائر عمله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجفاء كل الجفاء والكفر والنفاق من سمع المنادي ينادي إلى الصلاة فلا يجيبه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سمع النداء فلم يمنعه من اتباه عذر قال وما العذر قال المرض والخوف لم تقبل له الصلاة التي صلى. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول الأمي الكريم. Respected ulama, my beloved elders and brothers, first and foremost the talk is addressed to myself, that like one Ashur Ishani rahmatullahi alayhi used to look at his shortcomings, and according to that, the shortcomings he perceived within himself, he spoke on those topics. So hopefully that we can benefit. I have addressed myself first and foremost, and those who can benefit from it, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq for amal. So the ayat al-karima I have recited in front of you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the day when the shun is going to be exposed. This ayat karima is from the mutashabihat of the Quran, where the meaning is not very, very clear. And the maslak, the thought of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, in such ayat, we should bring iman on it. If we can give an interpretation that is in conformity to the remaining Quran Kareem and Ahadith Mubarakah, Shariat has permitted. If we can't find a suitable meaning, then leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I wouldn't want to endeavor to try to explain the thing that we know, that Allah is free from body, Allah is free from body parts. So how is it going to be, Allah knows best. That the day when the shin of Allah is going to be exposed. Yawma yukshafu an saq. This, it will be so tremendous. And the manifestation will be so great. The people, in particular the Muslims, at the marvel of the shin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will fall into sajda. Yawma yukshafu an saq. Wa yud'awna ila sujid. People will be summoned to sajda. Then there will be some that will not be in a position to make sajda. Even if they want to make sajda, they will not be in a position of sajda. And they will lower their gazes out of shame. And this grace will engulf them. And the reason was, when they were called towards sajda in dunya, they did not make sajda. As to who are these people, Ka'b Ahbar says that anzal hadhil ayah, that this ayat was revealed. First he takes Allah's qasam, وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةِ عَلَى مُوسَى وَالْإِنْجِيلِ عَلَى إِيسَى وَالدَّاوُودِ وَالزَّبُورِ عَلَى دَاوُودِ وَالْفُرْقَانِ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه الصلاة والسلام. أُنزِلَتْ هَذِي الْآيَةِ. This ayat has been revealed regarding a person that hears the muazzin but does not respond by going to the masjid. So his explanation, Ka'b Ahbar. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mufassir al Quran, has corroborated the meaning of Hazrat Abdullah of Hazrat Ka'b Ahbar. That this ayat is revealed regarding those people that hear the Mu'addineen but do not respond. And they prefer reading Salat at home without a valid excuse. There are other interpretations. Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala gives an explanation, quoting Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is regarding the kuffar. And two other explanations are given, that it is regarding the Muslims that perform salah for riyah, for show. And the third is for the munafiqin. But nevertheless, Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah Ali has mentioned, the mere fact that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas corroborated the meaning of Ka'b Ahbar is sufficient for us to take heed to the importance of performing salah to jamaat. And this is our islah. That when the muazzin calls out, we get the huduri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and immediately summon ourselves to the masjid as Allah wants. The Quran Kareem also mentions waraka'um ar-raqeen. Some mufassirin have explained that this refers to reading salat towards congregation. Others have said this refers to khushu and khudu. That to read salat with devotion. So therefore we cannot take out the masla of it being fard. But nevertheless, as far as our fuqaha is concerned, this is the point I want to get at. And Allah Ta'ala gives jazai khair to the fuqaha. Remember, our islah is according to the tartib the fuqaha has set. Shariat and tasawuf are not two different components. We should thank our fuqaha daily that they have prioritized and the most important aspect for our tarbiyat and islah to be made. In the field of tasawuf, you cannot be free from the fuqaha whatsoever. So we have to look at what the fuqaha have mentioned regarding this issue. One is the Ashabi Zawahir, those that look at the outward of the Ahadith Mubarakah in the Quran Kareem. And some of the Hanabila have taken the view, keeping the Ahadith and Quran in mind regarding Salat wa Jamaat. The Salat wa Jamaat is shart li sihati Salat. It's a precondition for the validity of Salat. In simple terms, if without a valid excuse you do not read Salat wa Jamaat, your Salat is not made. It's shart li sihati Salat. Therefore, Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah Ali has written in Fazail Amal also, many Sahaba held this view, and Tabi'in held the view, that if you haven't got a valid excuse, the Salat is not made. Nevertheless, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali's opinion was that it was Fard Ayn. That means if you do not read Salat with Jamaat, you are sinful. There Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah Ali has written that although our viewpoint is not a Fard, but nevertheless, a person will be gravely sinful for not reading Salat with Jamaat without a valid excuse. So even if our view is not of farz ayn, or it is a shart li sihati salah, But a person will be thinking that I'm getting reward at reading home at home while he's getting service. Then what Imam Shafi rahmatullahi's viewpoint is for the kifaya. Imam Tahawi rahmatullahi conforms to this viewpoint. But as far as our fuqaha is concerned, the ahnaf fuqaha is concerned, the most accepted view among the ahnaf that it is wajib. It is wajib to read Salatul Jamaat. That means if we leave it out, we are sinful for reading without a valid excuse for reading Salat at home. And where the view has come sunnah, in many of the kitabs we find sunnah. Shaykh Ibn Humam rahmatullah gives an explanation. He says, according to the Hanafi viewpoint, it is wajib. Sunnah in the sense that its thubut, its establishment is from ahadith and mubarakah. Then he gives an example to elucidate this point. He said, like Eidain Salat, it is wajib according to our fuqaha. But nevertheless, its thubut, its establishment is from the ahadith and mubarakah. So it is the same thing regarding Salat. So nevertheless, whether we say it is sunnah and muakkada, karibu min al wajib, fi hukm al wajib, according to the ahnaf also it is very, very required. And our fuqaha have written that if a person leaves out Salatul Jamaat without a valid excuse, the Imam of the time can administer ta'zir. Ta'zir is a punishment that is left to the discretion of the Qadi of the time. If you look at our fiqh kitabs, for example, Quduri, where it mentions ta'zir, it says that in terms of impact and severity, it is more severe, although less in number, than even zina, than even sarqa of stealing, or even accusing a woman falsely, and even worse than basically in terms of impact. Ta'zir is the worst in terms of impact. So Allah Ta'ala give us understanding that in an Islamic court, an Islamic country, a person that leaves out Salat or Jamaat is supposed to be given lashes. In fact, our fuqaha have gone even further to say, in Kiniya it is mentioned, it's a Hanafi fiqh kitab, that if a community leaves out Salat or Jamaat, it is imperative for the Imam to give the hukam for Salatul Jamaat. If they do not so, he can wage war against them. In the process, if life is lost, that blood is also free. That means there will be no blood money to be paid. To show how important to read Salatul Jamaat, especially for our Islam, that we regulate our entire life, evolve our entire life around Salah. Everything will fall within that program that we set of Salah, and whatever program we have is out there. So that means our allegiance first and foremost is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we have come here for, to understand the hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us and to fulfill those hukuk. And even in our kitab it is written, forget a person individually. Even in the locality there are people that are not performing Salah. This masala is in Kenya, the Shafi Hanafi kitab. That if in the locality people do not perform Salah, and you have the ability to speak to them and you do not, then despite performing Salah, you are sinful. Yes, obviously, as long as the person does not harm you, you have formed a relationship with adab and etiquette, you speak to him, but it's imperative. Whereas we will be going to the masjid for Salah, people will be washing the cars on a Saturday, Sunday afternoon, Dhuhr, and nothing happens to us. As if, as long as I'm fulfilling my hukam. Whereas from a Shari perspective, you are sinful for not even trying to advise or at least forming a relationship in future to advise. And then also written in our fiqh kitab, that a person that leaves Salat with Jamaat intentionally, without any valid excuse, his shahadat will not be accepted in the court of law. So there are so many ahadith, the fiqh viewpoint, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the hadith that I have read to you, man samiya munadi Allah, yunadi ila salat, the person that hears the adhan, and the muadhin calling, and nothing prevents him from attending Salah. So sahaba asked, what is a valid excuse? In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that hope, a person has fear. There is a lot of details in that. We'll check the fiqh kitab for that. And illness, then his salat will not be accepted. But the Shaykh Ramtullah Ali, in the hadith, under the hadith, is written that although our fuqaha do not hold this view that his salat will not be accepted, but nevertheless, he will be very, very sinful. The Ravi of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Abbas. As Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, who also mentioned that this person has done great injustice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah has summoned him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put everything conducive to fulfill his hukam. The masajids are built for that purpose. Muaddins are there. Imams are there. Probably the most money Muslim community spends for something is a masjid. So everything has been conducive to fulfill Allah's hukam. And this inappreciation of Allah's hukam is not to respond to the call. Actually, Allah is calling via the muaddin. So he summons to the masjid and he does not.
So in that case, he said it is total oppression on the person that does so. In fact, he has done no good. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas says, he has done no good and no good will be done to him. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that it is more befitting that molten lead be put into his ears after hearing the adhan that he has not responded. He is more deserving of that. The Nabi has mentioned al-jafa'u kullul jafa. It is total oppression. Al-kufru wal-nifaq, akin to kufr and nifaq. Man samia yunadi Allah yunadi ila salah, fala yujibuhu. That he hears the adhan being called out and he does not respond. The Nabi has said it is oppression. Normally we think people have oppressed us. And we think of oppression in that sense. That this person has oppressed me and these people have oppressed me. How much oppression daily do we do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not responding? Little excuses we have and we do not come. Like Hazrat was explaining, there are small excuses, we do not go to the masjid. So one is the development of at least how salah should be performed. Nabi is rahmatul alameen on one side. On the other hand, he is saying that I intend to ask the youngsters to collect wood and then go to the houses of those that do not have a valid excuse to burn the house. So how serious is the hukam? Therefore we have to understand Sharia from our fuqaha. And according to that our islah has to be made. What priority they have given, what they have said. And what is shaitan is doka, he will take us away from that which is afzal to that which is mafzul. So those that are in deen, he will not necessarily take you out of the amal of deen. What he will do, he will make you pay attention. As the Shaykh Ramsullah says, listen, this is the tariqah of the jahil sufiya. They basically will engage in nawafil ibadat. They will engage in adhkar for protracted periods of time. Even it means reading Quran in abundance. But they will leave us salatul jamaat. He says many times, the Shaykh has listened, the person will start from the time of tahajjud, waking up early, 3:30, 4:15. And he will be right till ishraq making ibadat. But he will not attend salatul jamaat. He is sinful. In the court of Allah, he is sinful. In his mind, he has done a lot of ibadat. Probably you will take him to be righteous. So our tartib of islah is according to what our fuqaha has said. And we cannot separate islah from fiqh. There is part and parcel of our growth as to what is required. The Sahaba did not departmentalize deen as far as ayn, wadi, sunnat, muakkada. They gave their heart for it. It is because of our weakness that the fuqaha have made it easy. That because that let's prioritize and show you what is most important. So at least you don't neglect that. And you do not go to mafzul, that which is less preferred, to that which is more preferred. So there are so many ahadith regarding the subject matter that we cannot exhaust the subject matter, the importance of it. Fuqaha have written volumes on the benefits of a society, what will happen to a society when salat was jamaat. Now we think about all, today we call ourselves musallis. Generally in South Africa, the norm is Maghrib salat is the biggest crowd. I'm just thinking, where I perform Maghrib salat, there's about 12.5 steps daily for Maghrib salat. Isha salat somehow becomes 7.5 to 7. And then it depends whether it's a Sunday night. Unfortunately, Sunday night, the salat to jamaat becomes less even than Saturday, Friday, as if we are preparing for the following week by breaking Allah's hukam. How are we going to prepare ourselves mentally and have an early sleep and preparing for the following week for Allah and have wanting Allah's nusrat when we are breaking the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the night before and we expect a week of peaceful? Then we differ from summer to winter, the musallis. Where we perform salat, when the salat is very early at 3 to 5, then there are 4.5 steps. Then as winter approaches, then it comes to 6 steps. Further, on a Friday morning is one more step, 7 steps. And probably this is, I asked a few imams, this is a situation in nearly every masjid in the town. Then Saturday, Sunday. Sunday then we see because the Hafiz students do not generally come, so fathers that bring them. This is also a point that I'm just going to digress slightly. We are making our children to Hifz, but we haven't got Matloob Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Matloob was Allah's Zaat, then we will see that Hifz, maximum you can say is Sunnah, or Mustahab for Fuqaha have written, to become a Hafiz of Quran. But for him to read Salat after Bahari, he is wajib. So because Sunday there is no Hifz class, the Masjids are less, and the Musallis are less. That means Matloob is not Allah's Zaat. Now it is the rewaj of becoming a Hafiz. So the father does not come, the students do not come. So the musallis become less. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to understand the importance of this concept of reading Salat wa Jamaat. And that is very, very important for us. There is one extract I'm going to read from Arabic. My mouth is small and the things that I'm saying is going to be very big. Therefore, I do not find it appropriate to mention it. I will just read in Arabic, those that understand will understand
that he writes.
This is from Beshti Zevar, and there is some extracts of it that he has in the Arabic has included, which were not in the original, but nevertheless, wherever he has added, he has given hawala and he has given reference. So he mentions here that Rajulun yastaghilu bil fikhi laylan wa naharan, wala yahduru al jama'ata la yudaru, wala tuqbalu shahadatuhu. Then he mentions in another place that undur ila tilka al ta'kidat wa ila hadhihi al fawaid wal hikam. After mentioning many, many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Quranic ayat, he says, انظر إلى تلك التعقيدات وإلى هذه الفوائد والحكم فوا أسفا تتعود أناس من الذين يكبون على دراسة علوم القرآن والحديث صباحا مساء بترك الجماعة فضلا أم عامة الناس يتكاسلون في أمر الجماعة كأنهم يحملون في صدورهم أحجارا لا يؤثر فيها القرآن والحديث فكم تبلغ به الندامة والحسرة حين يسألون عنها يوم القيامة.
So those that understand, this is addressed to me first and foremost as to what he had written regarding reading Salatul Jamaat. And the other point also, just to conclude, that one is to read Salatul Jamaat, and then Hazrat gave given emphasis, and for months Hazrat gave emphasis on inculcating khushu and khudu in Salah. And the one point that Mufti Jafar mentioned on Tuesday night, it was very, very appealing, that the ummah tawajju and rujhan and inclination is towards sihati amal, which is required. Therefore the madaris have been established, we learn fiqh, so to see how an amal is sahih. And then he says there isn't much attention towards qubuliyati amal, so the acceptance of amal. So this is one of the reasons we have come here, to give jaan, to give life to our salah. And the point Mawlana Ashraf Ishani rahmatullah alayhi summarizes very beautifully. Hazrat has mentioned that in terms of fiqh, khushu and khudu, concentration and devotion in salah, is not fardain. For the sihat of salah, we cannot say that if a person did not have devotion, his salah is not fardain. So in that sense, Hazrat says it's not fardain. But on the other hand, Hazrat says, with the point that Mufti Jafar mentioned, for qubuliyati salah, it is absolute necessary. Then in that case, for qubuliyati salah is fardain. To develop concentration and devotion in that sense for the acceptance of the court of Allah, and that salah that Allah Ta'ala will give us status because of, then inshallah, then it's fardain. So we should try to develop it and try to make our salah full of jaan. And like Hazrat mentioned this many, many times, and we have heard it again and again, Allah give us the reality of it, that Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that teach a person a perfect salah, you have taught him the whole of deen. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah,
nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders in Islam, from the beginning of creation, there have always been this contest between truth and falsehood. And this contest will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to this dunya to establish truth. And at the same time, shaitan, his object in life and is committed to this task is to deviate people from the truth. And shaitan was from the time prior to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's got respite till the day of Qiyamah. So he has been present in all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's era, and he witnessed and he was acquainted with all the destructions of the various nations. So regarding experience, there is no one more experienced than him in deviating people from the true path. So we have come here to rectify ourselves, to better our relationship with Allah, to reform ourselves. Remember, when this intention is made, there is a hidden effort to destroy that intention. So when a person, mashallah, he has the desire to change his life, he spends time in the path of Allah in Jamaat, or he spends time with the Shaykh in the Khanka, then that jazbat and that worry and that concern and the desire to improve his relationship of Allah Ta'ala gets ignited in his heart. And then he makes effort. That means the importance of salah, the importance of zakah, the importance of the ahkam of Allah automatically comes in his heart. But what we find, due to shaitan's experience, he will make us emphasize and put importance to that, and at the same time we deny the other aspect of deen, which is hukukul ibad. So this is not undermining the rights of Allah. Scholars explain that Allah's mercy is infinite, it's unending. So if a person sincerely repents to Allah, Allah will forgive him.
It is regarding the rights of Allah. But regarding حقوق العباد, the rights of people, a person will have to get forgiven from that person. So while he is progressing in this line, as far as حقوق الله is, he becomes neglectful and unmindful regarding حقوق العباد. And one of the rights that insan has upon us, or fellow brother has upon us, is his honor and dignity. And how often we find ourselves careless and negligent regarding that. Generally, the definition of ghibat, for example, that we feel if we talk to about somebody in his absence, that is ghibat. But ulama ikram explained that everything that is associated with him, that, for example, his honor, his family, or his car, if we criticize anything of these aspects, that had he been present, he would take offense to it, becomes ghibat. And yet, in the Sharia, it has been so much emphasized. That one occasion is mentioned in Tanbih al-Ghafilin by Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh, that one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from the Sahabas that who is the worst of person, the mafhum of which is. And Sahabas, they modestly always used to reply that Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who carries tales and speaks ill about his brother. So one side, we, mashallah, we're trying to gain the relationship and the close proximity to Allah in the one aspect, but we become neglectful as far as the other aspect, and we create barriers between us and Allah. And it is so much emphasized that even in the hadith of the mafhum of which ulama ikram explained, that is worse than adultery, worse than zina. One Haji Ahmad Naqudan had mentioned that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatul Ali, what he was with, is very close associate. And somebody came to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatul Ali, Mala Zakari Rahmatul Ali, and informed him that Hazrat, I have committed a very bad thing. So Hazrat bowed his head down and with lot in a very fearful way asked him, what did you do? So this person said, Hazrat, I committed zina. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali lifted his head as a sigh of relief to say, I thought you were going to say you're going to make ghibat. And here Hazrat explained, Hazrat Shaykh did not undermine the seriousness of zina. But Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah wanted to impress on the hearts of those who are close to him, because by virtue of them associating with him, the seriousness of zina has already been understood by them. But they have generally trivialized the seriousness of zina. That is why, in order to impress on the hearts of these people that were around him, the seriousness of ghibat, that is why Hazrat Shaykh acted in that way. And really, beloved brothers, a wise person will not allow his good deeds to be given to someone else. Once Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah alayh, invited some guests for a meal, and as he was getting the food ready, he overheard these people talking about somebody, ill about somebody. And Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah alayh, said, I'm astonished. In the past, people used to eat the bread before the meat. I see you people eating the meat before the bread. Because in hadith, it is mentioned that you are eating the flesh of your brother, Muslim brother, if you make ghibat of him. And it is so imperative and necessary. And this is why we come here for Islam, to become conscious of this. Otherwise, in the masjid, in the house of Allah, trying to get closer to Allah, but due to not realizing the seriousness of this, we throw away all our good deeds. So my beloved brothers and elders, it is extremely necessary that while huququllah is very, very important, at the same time, let us not become careless and negligent regarding huququl ibad. Once we were in Jamaat, our pious predecessors were so particular, and they used to take so much precaution regarding the honor of a person, that once we were in Jamaat in Mumbai, and one person had taluk with Mala Masila rahmatullah alayh, so he told us that he wants us to go make a khusus mulaqat to a certain dentist that lives in that area. And he said, this dentist is now no more practicing dentistry, he's now retired. But what was unique about this dentist, Allah gave him the opportunity to make khidmat of many, many pious people, the like of Mawlana Inamul Hassan rahmatullah alayh, the like of Mawlana Abrahul Haq rahmatullah alayh. So naturally the Jamaat were very anxious to meet such a person. And then he took us for the mulaqat of this dentist, who was well in his 70s. And mashallah, we've seen the effect of his nisbat with the awliya ikram. You look at him, you'll think he's an alim. Full sunnat libas, nur on his face. And when he was speaking to the jamaat and he gave the jamaat some tea, then he said, I want to explain you one thing. I want to give you one karguzari. You see, Mawlana Inam al-Hasan rahmatullah alayhi, it was a habit of him that from Nizamuddin he used to make regular safars out of the country. So when any dental work was required, he used to come to Bombay, then whatever needed to be done on his teeth, he used to do it, and then he used to fly out to wherever country was Mashwara was made to go. And then from there he would return straight to Delhi and go to Merkaz. And any other further work that was required, he would then, the next safar, he would wait for the next safar. Then when he comes to Bombay again, any more work needed to be on his teeth, then he would come there by him, and then like that, that was his normal tafsir. So you see, one day I had to do some work for Mawlana Inam al-Hasan on his teeth, and I had to make some adjustment, I think dentures in it. And like that, according to his normal tartib and his normal habit, he made safar out of the country. And he said after about 8 or 1 year, I cannot recall, I think so he said 1 year, Hazrat Ji was now due for his next safar. And when he came to meet this dentist, the dentist seen that Hazrat Ji, Mawlana Inam al-Hasan rahmatullah, had a lot of pain and abscess into his gum, and he was going through them, and then he said, Subhanallah, since the last time I met you, it looks like I have made the adjustments a bit out. My calculations were a bit out, so it did not put you flush, and that is maybe causing all the bruise on your jaw. So Hazrat Ji rahmatullah, so he asked Hazrat Ji rahmatullah, so it was just needed a little filing, why didn't you go to Delhi and just get it quickly sorted out? It's a matter of 10-15 minutes to work to get it filed, and then you would have saved yourself from the inconvenience of the pain that you are undergoing for an entire year. What a reply Hazrat Ji rahmatullah said. Hazrat Ji rahmatullah told the dentist that, you know, many people are aware that I do my dental work at your place. Had I gone to another dentist, it would indirectly expose your shortcoming. That you have not did the dentures correctly. Out of fear of exposing your shortcoming, I would rather tolerate going through the inconvenience of the pain in my mouth than to take the risk of exposing your weakness. These were our awliya ikram. These were our elders, beloved brothers. Really, and this is the essence of Islam. And this is the meaning of Islam. Like one person said it so beautifully. He said, Islam, what does Islam mean? You see, the I stands for intention. First, the intention that, Ya Allah, I want to reform myself. Then this S is for Sunnah. Our Hazrat always emphasized, Sunnah, in Sunnah is our Islam, is the complete deen. And then the L is to go to our Shaykh Shuyukh to learn. The L is for learn. Learn how to tread the path of Tasawwuf. Once we will learn from our Shuyukh, then the next stage will be acknowledgement, the A for acknowledgement. We will acknowledge the weakness within ourselves, the shortcomings in ourselves. And then that will give us the jazbat for the next A, the aspiration to improve. And once that aspiration comes in our life, then the age for hidayah, then Allah will open the doors of hidayah. The Tariq ulama explained, once a person makes mujahada, then Allah opens avenues of hidayah for this person. So really we have to be extremely cautious of this. That one side, mashallah, we are progressing and spiritually and we are moving forward ahead as far as our ibadah is, which is very important. But let us not be careless and negligent in this regard, that it becomes an obstacle between us and Allah and a barrier between us and Allah. Because the honor and the dignity of a mu'min is very great. Ulama Ikram explained, once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, emphasizing this point, looked at the Baytullah and said, that, oh Kaaba, you are very honorable, but the honor of a believer is far more valuable. So sometimes Satan will deceive us. As I explained to you, he is our open enemy, he has all the experience. He will disguise it in different forms. Sometimes he will disguise it in the form of fikr. There was one person, one elder, in the effort of Dawat and Tabligh, was advising the workers, and he said, be very cautious, because between fikr and ghibat there is a very fine line. Sometimes in the name of fikr, a person's nurse will get happy in getting himself in ghibat instead of fikr. And then he explained it so beautifully, and he said that had a person had true fikr for a person, for another person, or whatever it is, did he take his name in dua, then that will show his sincerity of the fikr. If not, then like normally Jamaat in the morning fikr, they will have fikr, you know, this person has become, now that like, sometimes you say he's gone a bit lazy, he's not doing this, not doing that. It must not happen that that thing is termed as ghibat in the eyes of Allah due to our carelessness. So shaitan will disguise it. So they say it's a very fine line between ghibat and fikr. So Allah give us a tawfiq and Allah give us the understanding. One day Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi had mentioned, and he said, he was speaking to few people, and he said, I'm astonished at you people. The enemies of your friends, you hold back and you don't, you're very miserly towards them. Where you have to assist them, where they're in need of, you don't assist them. So how is it that you are very miserly towards those that are your friends, but you are very generous to those that are your enemies? And then he further explained to them that you are willing to part with your good deeds on the day of Qiyamah by backbiting those who you dislike. Isn't that a foolish person? That his enemies he's so generous with. And this is the reality of it. That it will be on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be full of remorse and regret. That first of all, we don't even know what is the condition of our amal. And then that little that we got, will it be worth it to give it to someone else? It's like a person toiling and is working the entire month, and at the end of the month, that amount of money that he had earned, he deposited in somebody else's account. So that is why we need us Islam. We need us to be reformed, to reform ourselves, to recognize us. How will we recognize us? It's like bayanat and masjadis like this. It will conscientize us. Otherwise, ulama has explained that we don't want to spoil what we have toiled. And we don't want to pain without gain. So once we're paining and going to great pain and difficulty to, mashallah, to accrue good deeds, but due to negligence in this regard, the shukukul ibad, we throw away and wash away this, all our good deeds. May Allah Ta'ala make us conscious about it. First it must come in my life, that we recognize it. Today we don't even recognize it. Today we will try to justify it. We will even use words, astaghfirullah, I don't want to mention, but you know, so into this. I don't want to make ribat, but I'll do this. That is how we are actually justifying what we are doing. So Allah Ta'ala make us realize that we understand the seriousness of this great, great spiritual ailment. And this is a barrier between us and Allah. And we have come here to ease the path to reach Allah. And all these bayanats are for that purpose. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this and to appreciate this and to realize how important these spiritual maladies have to be removed from our hearts so that the road towards Allah can be cleared. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal.
Actually, when you various sports tournaments, you know, that are held in the world, you get a thing called a wild card. A wild card is given to a team, an individual. They didn't qualify for the tournament in the proper manner, but because they just want to give encouragement to those that are at a low level, the grassroots level, and that you can also make it one day. So they throw these wild cards out, and people that are far off from being professional, they didn't get a chance to come in to play with the pros. So this is the case here today. I am totally ill-equipped, unqualified. I have, as the bayans are going and the mudakara is being made, it's just more and more glaring to me that I don't deserve this at all. Or to give you another understanding of me being here, it might be that in Hazrat's mind and in his wisdom, that you get the, you know, somebody's going on a weight loss program, so they show him the before and the after. So this is the before. And what you've seen so far is the after. That's where you can get. So looking at me might give everybody hope, but all of you are better than me. All of you are better than me. Somebody asked me, they said, did you get a topic? What are you going to speak on? So I told him, no, I'm giving the vote of thanks. They started laughing. They said, the vote of thanks. But actually it is a vote of thanks. We normally get it at the end of the program. What is the vote of thanks? Where we thank everybody that was involved in the program. But this vote of thanks is going to, inshallah, teach me first where the vote of thanks should be in the start. And this is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever I will say here, I'm not going to repeat it, because then the time will go, it will just be repetition. But really this is what I have learned from our Hazrat Damat Barakatum, from the rest of the ulama and our satis. Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi, تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیری سنگ در پہ مرنا. That I know nothing, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about your love. Still I don't know. The little bit that I have heard, more than learned, this was from your love, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to eventually give my life at your threshold. So respected friends and elders, what is the shukr? Like one of the ulama explained during, I think this morning's bayan, it is to take everything and connect it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shukr we can speak, there's many things which we heard about. One is to make shukr with the tongue, one is shukr by amal. These are the different ways of showing appreciation. But today I'll try to maybe remind us that how the shukr, who are we making it to? And to have that within us, that what do I have? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. That look within yourself. Look within yourselves and you will appreciate what I have given you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayat of Quran Sharif, وَاللَّهُ أَخَرْجَكُمْ مِنْ بُتُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعَلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That I have taken you out from the wombs of your mothers. And when I took you out, you knew nothing. Look at a child, what does the child know? And then I gave you sight, and then I gave you hearing, and then I gave you some intelligence, I gave you some understanding, some affection, and then this was for what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. To show appreciation to me for having bestowed all these favors upon you. So when we look at ourselves, it's very difficult to look at our own tongue. So today I'll just a few things on the tongue. This tongue which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, a unique piece of flesh. If you look at it, just take at the time of Qurbani, you take the chief tongue out and you put it there. What is a tongue? How does a tongue really, what is so special in the tongue? Firstly, a tongue has taste buds. Between 2,000 and 10,000 taste buds on this tongue. How many centimeters? On the small little piece of flesh. Then the tongue has 15, they say, we have learned, about 15 receptors on each of these taste buds. 15. So 15, if you just take by 2,000, 30,000 receptors on this little piece of flesh. And then these taste buds, this allows us to enjoy the food which we appreciate, so we should be appreciating so much. The salty taste, the sweet taste, the sour taste, the savory taste. So all these things on this one tongue. And then the tongue, they say, that like our fingerprints, and now today they discovered our eyes also, each one is unique to each human being that has been sent onto this earth. Similarly, the tongue print. Each one's tongue print is completely unique to the next person. In the tongue, respected brothers and elders, what does it help us do now? The tongue allows us, that when we eat, to take the food and push it from one side to the other side. The tongue then helps us to take this food and to throw it into the back of our throat, or on the top of the throat, to push it down into the food pipe. This very same tongue, after we eat, we use it to wipe our teeth clean with it. All with this one tongue. And if you look at it again, just a piece of flesh. So the tongue, respected brothers and elders, what else does it do? The tongue then allows us to do what I'm doing now, to speak to you. The tongue allows us to talk. And how, what talk? One is a person can speak the amount of languages in the world. The amount of languages or dialects together with that. Then people can make sounds of birds. Some people can make sounds of different animals. Some even of a waterfall. What and what with a tongue? A simple tongue, simple piece of flesh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put all that in it. The taste buds. Allah has put the receptors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put those muscles in the tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the ability of speech in the tongue. The movement of the tongue. So all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. There is one friend of ours. What happens when you don't have the tongue? Can't of the tongue. So when he eats, how does he eat? He can't push the food around. So with his finger, the morsel goes in and then the finger does the work. How you eat? What majah in that food? And then when the food has to go down, it can't go down without the tongue. So then every morsel requires a sip of water. Every morsel. So then he puts the morsel, lifts back his head, and he throws in the water and gulps down his food. Every morsel. One time. And then when it comes to speech, one is you next to him, you might understand him. Imagine over the phone. And when the tongue has been removed, how do you listen to the person? How do you understand what he's saying? So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for you to appreciate all these ni'mat that I've given you. My one family member, he went to sleep, hailed healthy, nothing wrong. Spoke English for 60 years or the better of 60 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one night, Allah knows what happened. He woke up in the morning, few days in hospital, didn't speak. The day he opened his mouth, till today, English is gone. Gone. Not a word of English. Not an alphabet of English. His Quran, only he knows what Quran he reads. To him, he's speaking English. He writes down, he'll write English. He reads, he'll read English. At least he thinks he's reading English. But he can't say a word of English. How does he communicate? How does he tell somebody a simple thing like water? And when he's speaking to you, he's speaking the Queen's English. But no English coming out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to appreciate every ni'mat of His. That is why we have been sent in this world. To recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His creation. How else do we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But through the creation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered it, like they say, to zahir, to batin, to hear. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concealed in the line before that. That Allah, you have concealed yourself in all this. But yet, we can see you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you are so open, but some of us are just blind in seeing you. We just can't see you, Allah. So respected friends and elders, like this tongue, our entire bodies, like this, the entire world is filled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And to appreciate one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like our Hazrat gives us the example of the fruit basket which appears at our door every morning. We wake up in the morning, we open the door, and we find a basket of fruits, not only in season, first grade, first class, or import quality, but even out of season, and the best of them, every morning. And with that in the basket, the way the beautifully way it's laid out, there's an envelope. And in that envelope, we find 1,000 rands or 2,000 rands cash there for us. The least a person would do, of some sense, some salt, is that he'll want to find out after 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, that who is putting the fruit basket there. No one will just go eat the fruit, take the money, enjoy, bust it up, and that's it. He'll want to know who is giving me this every day without fail. I need to at least know him, acknowledge him, thank him. So he'll peep out of the wind curtain one morning a bit earlier, that who is coming. But unfortunately we know, but we don't think. Kaate hai Rahman ki, aur kaate hai Shaitan ki. We eat the favors of Rahman, and we sing with that energy. We are dancing to the tunes of Shaitan. His son is brought up in the house of the father, puts him in the business, and the son is stealing every night and giving it to the opposition. Exactly the case. What will we get for making sugar? وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran Sharif, that person that makes shukr, I will be pleased with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the person that when he eats, he thanks Allah. And what he thinks? Alhamdulillah. One is we just say, shukr. Oh, what's happening? No, shukr. That is shukr. Say Allah's name is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from you. Alhamdulillah. Shukr, alhamdulillah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the person, that after he eats, he says, Alhamdulillah, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he drinks, then he also thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And what better than that? And this is what we want, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was such a beautiful, easy way Just to thank Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That person that thanks Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah will look, will protect, preserve, and increase. And this is what we want in all the good things, isn't it? In our health, in our wealth, in our emotional state. We want only to be better. We only want more. We don't want any deterioration, any loss, any coming in it. The easy way, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acknowledge that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And if you don't, وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is then. Then Allah will take the kuffar of Makkah Sharif in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They never appreciated what Allah did. Took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away. Gone. Finished. Allah takes away. So Hazrat tells us that make at least five shukrs this morning. Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib, Tamar Barakah, to mention it. First, that Allah has made us insan. We're not going into that whole the different breakdowns of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me insan. Thank you for that. And inshallah, we won't become like animals. One is in the form of a human being, but you're an animal. So Allah won't make us like an animal. Allah will give us, and this is what we come to learn. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi said that if you came here to become a big buzruk to the khanka, then you come to the this isn't the place for that. First you have come to become insan. So first to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are insan. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us belief in your iman. Inshallah, if we thank Allah ta'ala continuously for this, daily at least 2 rakat shukr salah for this iman. Because this is the greatest wealth we have, and we don't want to lose it. When Uwais Qalni rahmatullahi met Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu asked him for dua. He said, every day I make dua. Allah forgive and have mercy on the mu'mineen. You just make sure you die with iman. You got my dua. Die with iman. So thank Allah ta'ala for iman. Thirdly, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for putting us in the best of ummah, that of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number four, thank Allah ta'ala that He has covered, like I'm standing here, covered totally. This is one big deception. Like Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi said, the name is nice, Yusuf. The clothing, the beard, all the signboards outside the shop, advertising beautiful products, selling this eater and that. And when you come in there, you find feces. When you come in there, you find stool, you find urine. Say, what shop is this? So the outside is nice, but somebody comes close to me. They come, so to say, inside me. You're advertising shukr, you're advertising humility, you're advertising humbleness, you're advertising all the good products. But inside is only jealousy, it's only greed, it's only anger. So this, Allah Ta'ala, you have covered at least. At least people see from the outside. Otherwise our own wives will leave, cook for us, they won't even want to sleep next to us. They only want to be near us. If only they know what and what we do during the day, and what goes through our minds at night. So Allah Ta'ala has covered all this. And then, respected friends and elders, the last thing, or the fifth thing, not the last, is shukr can never ever come to an end. But the fifth thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have kept a rosy in your hands. Oh, all the favors that you have given me. Oh Allah Ta'ala, I thank you for that. That if you know well what went through my mind. You know what I got up to during the day in the dark hours of the night. But Allah Ta'ala, yet you still sent favor upon, and you're still enjoying. How much aren't we enjoying at this present moment? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are giving me over and over and over again. If I was dealing with another human being, Allah, I wouldn't have got nothing after the first time. So kareem, so tolerant aren't you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So daily to thank Allah ta'ala for all the ni'mat that we can see and the billions and trillions we can't see. Those that we understand and the many which we don't understand. Allah ta'ala, thank you for all this. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Nabi Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha observed him making long salah in his salah. And thereafter she asked him, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do you need to perform such long rakats of salah? So he said, she told him that, aren't you forgiven? Allah ta'ala promised your forgiveness, whatever the stages of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what he said, shouldn't I show my gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person blessed with four things, four qualities, has the best of this world and the akhirat. The best of this world and the akhirat. The first being, a qalban shakira, a heart that is grateful.
So to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's four things and then I'm going to finish off. How at least a few things with which we can start at least. One is the five things. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, "Oh Mu'adh, I love you. And don't forget to do this after every salah. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadati. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadati. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me to remember you and to make shukr to you." To make? Asking Allah ta'ala for that. Dawud alayhi salam, when he was thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually he came, Allah ta'ala, but the shukr I'm making, I need to make shukr for that ability to make shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside him, "Dawud, now you have understood. Everything, even the ability to make shukr, that's it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then Hazrat Abu Bakr al-Anu showed us another dua, "Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya." That, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also give me that ability to thank you for the ni'mat, the many ni'mat which you have blessed me with." Then the respected friends and elders, to look those that are always below you in the terms of this dunya. That Allah, when you see a person wakes up in the morning, doesn't find shoes at his bed, then think of the man that doesn't have feet. You got your shukr made. Always think of those below you. You will have a happy life. Allah will keep increasing you. So this is also a way of making shukr. And then of course, to speak to Allah Ta'ala from the bottom of your heart and tell Him, "Thank you for all that you have given me. I was undeserving of each and every one of these ni'mat that you have given me." So on Tuesday night, Hazrat Mufti Jafar Sahib, Rahmat Barakat, mentioned that the one we don't, and this is also before that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they alive, we don't appreciate. And when they passed away, then we want to be in the first surf praising them. But in their lifetime, praise them, thank them also. For they are our means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of putting us on that road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This,
teri raah se guzarna kabhi dil pe sabr karna kabhi dil se shukr karna.
This is the way of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes passing the days making sabr, and at other times making shukr. There's a famous thing or a hadith, I'm not quite sure, but the eating of a person that makes shukr is equivalent to the sabr a person makes while fasting. The eating of a person making shukr is equivalent to a person that is fasting and is making sabr. When we sit with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will see with every morsel, Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr. Every morsel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are appreciating. Respected friends and elders, once Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi was eating, a morsel fell down and he started looking for it. He couldn't find it. He got the other people of the household involved. They couldn't find it. He got kids from the street, "You come look, your eyes are better." They couldn't find it. Some people came and said, "Hazrat, what's going on here? What did you lose?" They say, "One grain has fallen down." Say, "One grain in all this commotion?" He says, "On the day of Qiyamah, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls me up and says, 'Oh Ashraf Ali, I sent this grain for you with your name on it, with so much, so many systems I put in place. You didn't appreciate it?'" So this is those that have their eyes on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the akhirat. So respected friends and elders, keeping Mufti Jafar Sahib's advice in mind, I'll take your few minutes, almost done, a few minutes just to read a poem that somebody prepared for our Hazrat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. "Allow me to share my reflection and express my appreciation. Allow me to share my reflection and express my appreciation to my great inspiration, my wonderful motivation. At first I had my reservation of having a sheikh for my spiritual purification. How could he be my transportation when Allah Ta'ala is my destination? Although my appearance gave me satisfaction, the reality was that from sins I had no separation. Then Allah Ta'ala guide me to Hazrat Tazkiyah Institution, and wallah, Hazrat gave hope from every direction. Hazrat example makes easy your initiation. Hazrat tafsir has such passion. Hazrat's humor to lighten the situation. Hazrat majlis is nothing but Allah Ta'ala's love in celebration. Hazrat's words are not just for beautification, but every alphabet is said with real conviction. That sin..." So this is what Hazrat advises. "That sin only brings Jahannam's tension, and Allah Ta'ala's friendship will put you in Jannah's sensation. The following advices were given in greater elaboration. see Allah Ta'ala's ever-present manifestation in all His amazing and wonderful creation, realize that it was not all done just for decoration, and that Shaitan uses it as a distraction. Sin is always the incorrect reaction, even though it be done by the entire nation. With every good action, bring in meditation, lots and lots of intention will make you move quickly in your spiritual progression. Sunnah is the road to your salvation. It is also the height of human perfection. Although spiritually I am like an underdeveloped baby in Hazrat's ward of incubation, and I might be very far from complete reformation, but inshallah, with Hazrat's valuable connection, I pray that Allah Ta'ala's crown of friendship will be given at my graduation. O Hazrat, how can I ever show my gratification? May Hazrat dunya and akhirat be a constant inflation of elation. May Hazrat be blessed with the best of interaction with Allah Ta'ala, the Rabb of all creation.
Alhamdulillah. First of all, a person like me who is not even fit to sit and speak in front of great people, my Sheikh, Daman Barakatuh, Ulama, people who have got a knowledge of Deen, people who have appreciated Deen, I'm not even fit to speak. But just to try and understand that what I do, little bit which I have benefited from Hazrat Daman Barakatuh, to set, get the reality in my life first of all, and so that we can change our lives also. First and foremost, in Hazrat is praying so much, so much, that make intentions to make your Islam. This intention is so important because we are all sinful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu al-qulu fi silmi kaffa, enter into Islam completely. So we cannot say, this I'm going to do and this I'm not going to do. We've got to bring the whole of deen into our lives. And we haven't even understood that is a real true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person connects ourselves with these pious people, and then open up our minds and make us realize that we must try and bring deen into our lives. First of all, when we make namaz also, every one of us, we ask for ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, do you guide us on the straight path? Now, what is the straight path? The definition of a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. It means a person wants to go into Jannah, take the shortest path. But there is another path also, that is why Jahannam, you can also go to Jannah. So take the shortest path. Now, which is the shortest path? This is why we connect ourselves with the pious people and set in our company to make us, that they become our GSP, genuine pious person who can show us the road towards Allah. When they show us the road, we know how to go towards that path. Today everyone thinks that we are on the straight path. Well, there are things, a lot of things that we are doing, but still we are doing wrong. Like we heard from Hazrat Daman Barakatuh, when a person gets a phone call, first thing we say what? Hello. Saying the person to us, Jahannam, hello means hell you. Now, how many people have you been to send to us Jahannam already? Instead of saying he or something else on the phone, we are saying hello. Today, what wrong has become right for us, and right has become wrong for us. See, look at the clock there, we have got a clock there on top. It's got seconds, it's got minutes, also it's got hours also. It's working properly also there, and you ask anybody, anything wrong, everybody will say it is right. But think for ourselves, we as Muslims, when you go for Umrah, when you make Tawaf, you go the right way down. See the clock is moving the wrong way down. We have already accepted it is right, wrong has become a right for us. When are we going to realize that what is right is what is right? That's why we come in the majalis to bring us onto the straight path, first of all. Think for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kuffar has made it that life and death, and everybody speaks about it, life and death. What is life and death? It means you've got life. The next thing is death. When it's death, you're finished. So long as you've got life, enjoy yourself. That's the way of the kuffar. But Allah Pak tells in the Quran, Tabarak alladhi biyadihil mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayat. The mort comes first and hayat comes afterwards. See the difference. Before we have the mort is coming, there is life after death. You have to make preparation for that. See also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. I'm not sorry, if I make mistakes, Allah must forgive us. But as I've heard from Hazrat Daman Barakatuh, that ghurur means a life that is not real. It's like a deception. It's like a dream. For instance, give an example. If a person is feeling very tired, and after it you find outside is nice cool breeze, and it's under a shade he's sleeping, and then all of a sudden he sees in a dream that it is the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is your beautiful Jannah. You see the beautiful door of Jannah also. When he goes in the Jannah, he sees the beautiful palace of Jannah. And this all in his dream also there. And afterwards, he goes a little bit further and he sees the beautiful Hur al-Ain in front of him. And as he wants to go closer, the eyes opens up. And eventually, the next thing he realizes, he touches his private part, he finds he's got to take a ghusl now. But real life, what is our life like? This is what we have to understand, that is not a real life. Our dunya is like this. It's not a real life. The maqsad of life is to turn our direction towards akhirat. Hazrat Daman Barakat always says, Kalbe Salim, when a person will get Kalbe Salim, mafhum, that when a person's heart direction will turn towards akhirat, when that the life of the dunya will become unimportant in your life, and you are preparing for qabr, then that nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come in a person's heart. Think we have we got that nur in our person's heart? There's a lot of things that we have see also today, everybody, a lot of people today, crowd, Muslims, all going for holiday. What is holiday? The kuffar, Nasara, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the dunya, it took 6 days to make it, and then he felt tired, the 7 days had to rest on the 7th day. So that's why they call it holy day. Eventually this holy day has become out of their life and has become a holiday now. Now a person goes towards holiday now because Allah is sleeping. When Allah is sleeping now, you can do all the wrong things. Now is this holiday for us? That money which Allah has given us, Mubarak money, blessed money, which you're supposed to spend in the path of Allah, you're supposed to spend for the madrasa, you're supposed to spend it on the orphan, you're supposed to spend on the needy. There are so many thousands of people who haven't even got a morsel of food to eat. Allah, but we are spending our life, wasting our money in the wrong direction. And Allah is not going to question us on the day of Qiyamah. But where is our thinking gone on? So that's why we have got to answer, that we have got to come back onto the straight line. Once a person comes onto the straight line, then even if you are falling at the space of a tortoise also, but since you are on the straight line, inshallah you will reach your destination also. But if a person is not on the straight line, then Allah wants to bring you always on the straight line. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala system. A person, suppose he wants to go to Durban now. He's got his mother, his father, whatever it is, somebody very, very sick also there. He's also in a hurry also there. And as he is going now, and he all of a sudden made a wrong turn, and as he takes a wrong turn, then he's carrying on his road, he thinks he's going towards Durban also there, and he gets a puncture now. Now when he gets a puncture, he gets worried now. And this condition has come from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I look at the condition, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this condition. Now the person is not stranded. Alright, he takes out his spirit, then he takes out his jack. He finds, I can't even, jack is not even working, something wrong with my jack. Now he's got to wait for a passenger to stop. Somebody comes, and here some brother comes here, stops here. He says, what's wrong with you? He says, I just want to have, can you help me? Have you got a jack? Just put my spare on. He puts his spare on. Then he asks him, how far is Durban from here? He says, no, this road is going to Cape Town. You're on the wrong road. Make a U-turn, go 5-6 robots back, and turn onto the right, you'll come onto your right. Now that condition that has come, we look at it as best, but it's Allah wants to guide us. So when these conditions come in the dunya, it's for our benefit, that make a tawbah and istighfar and bring our lives on the right. So we have got to understand the system and the qudrat of Allah. Allah has kept iman in shukr and sabr. We have listened so much about shukr and sabr also. What is shukr in reality? Mulan Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, which is according to the creation of Allah in the seven heavens, according to the creation of Allah on earth, according to the creation between the earth and the seven heavens, and according to the creation Allah wants to create also. And after making shukr to such an extent, we haven't even fulfilled the haqq of shukr. How much shukr must be? What is sabr? When conditions comes, Allah's conditions comes only on a person, and person has got some spiritual sickness. Allah says, this is my banda, I have screamed this banda must go to Jahannam. If a banda has got pride in his heart, he cannot go to Jahannam, he cannot go to Jannat. This person has got hatred, he's got jealousy, he's got other spiritual sickness inside there. How can he enter into Jannat? Jannat is a place of peace, punish is a place of contentment. Now how can he go to Jannat? Allah Pak says, bring condition in this person. When this condition comes about, then the person has to realize, if a person has got pride, now when it's time to make sabbat, I'm making sabbat. Also that I'm finding when conditions come about, they are breaking up. Husband and wives are breaking up, families are breaking up because of money, because of business, because we don't realize what is maqsad. Just a few minutes, I'll try to take note. Once, Nabi Karim Salah Hussain sang this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and one kuffar came there, and he started swearing, and he started speaking so bad about Abu Bakr Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq, so bad, that he's face was getting red and he was feeling so uncomfortable. And you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face was smiling all the time. And afterwards he could not hold anymore, and he started answering him back. And you look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's smile went away. And he asked, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, what happened now? You see what he's saying? So all the time you were smiling, and all of a sudden your face has changed. So long as when you are making sabr, inna Allah ma'as sabirin, Allah was coming closer to you. You are getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sent a malaika to answer all your questions to the kuffar. But since you answered back, the rahmat has went away. Have you got the reality of this? That's why it is so necessary that you come in the company of the pious people, first who are turn our understanding and direction away from the way and bring us towards Akhirat, because Akhirat is real. It's haq. And dunya is not real. Today our effort and everything is in the line of dunya. And you don't think that what the real purpose of life is to prepare for Akhirat. Allah give the reality and understanding for me first of all, and us, and Allah accept us to come on the straight line. And even if a person goes at the pace of a tortoise also, but remain on the straight line and under a person who can guide us to the road, show the right. GPS means genuine pious person, the person who knows the road. Like I always before mentioned also there, during the time of apartheid, just to finish off, that there was one person, a priest also, from the apartheid town, from the Free State. In those days there were no highway roads and no proper road signs also there. And he came into Joburg, he wanted to go to Pretoria. And when he came there, he found that he doesn't know the direction. You've seen one African small boy here, he said, Pickering, come here. The person came here. He said, if you show me the road to Pretoria, I will show you the road to heaven. The poor person put, the bus, you need part from Pretoria, can you? How you need part from Himmel, can you? If you don't know the road to Pretoria, how are you going to know the road to heaven? So we are the same thing in that case. Myself, I don't know. I don't know the road to Jannat. I don't know the road to Akhirat. I don't know the road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we need and connect ourselves with such people who can show us the road and connect us, who can reach our destination. It's comfortable. And when we're making Tawbah, Istighfar, Allah has kept Tawbah and Istighfar. Daily make Tawbah and Istighfar. Ask forgiveness. Learn to cry from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One drop of tear in the fear of Allah, or one drop of tear in the love of Allah, that will make you akhirat inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakum Allah khairan. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal and whatever has been mentioned this morning. Inshallah, now lunch will be served. And this will take place also in the Hills Hall, the back of the madrasa. And inshallah, at 12:45, azan will take place for the Zuhr Salah. 1 o'clock will be Jamaat. And inshallah, the program will continue after the Zuhr Salah. SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi. SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi.